Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, this past Sunday, I thought you did an excellent job going back to a difficult passage of Scripture in our New Testaments, but drawing some very practical and helpful connections to the challenging year that we've been living in.
Yes, we entitled the lesson, Four Truths for Challenging Times, and we based it on Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is kind of a chapter that's difficult for a lot of folks. Some think it's about the second coming. Some see the rapture in there and other ideas. But looking at the background, which we try to do, try to set the stage and following it as it kind of unfolds before our eyes, and then comparing that to what Mark says and Luke says in their parallel gospels, it's pretty easy to see that Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He had been teaching in the temple there for several chapters in a row. He finishes this as chapter 24 begins, and he leaves the temple. The disciples point out just how beautiful the temple was, and they just kind of was marveling about that. From that, Jesus used that occasion to say that there's not two stones that will be left one upon another, which was really just shocking to these disciples. A temple was a massive, massive building, a massive compound, and to think that something, someone, or somehow this massive temple was going to come down was shocking to them. Their world was coming apart. And what a bridge to our world today, because 2020 has just been a mess for so many of us. And what the Lord did as we walked through Matthew 24 is he laid out some guidelines for his disciples. He would say in verse 22, had it not been for the elect, everyone would have died. But he gives instructions for his people. He tells them to flee immediately. He tells them to pray that it's not in the wintertime because it'd be difficult to travel or difficult for those who have young children or are pregnant at that time. And so the word here is to get out because the city is about to be overtaken. Luke's account, Luke 21, verse 20, says, when you see the city surrounded, then you will know. And that's kind of what we use to kind of get that historical background and to see how the Lord was helping his people through that. And then to see the parallel to us today and the times we're going through.
Yeah, I thought that was a great approach. You spent a good amount of time talking about history. You even acknowledged in your sermon that not everybody loves history the way that you and I do. But in order to understand accurately a passage like Matthew 24, we need to know what happened and why it was such a devastating event in the history of the Jewish nation. But also you used it really to help us today with our perspective. And boy, we have talked a lot about perspective in 2020. We need that broadened at times.
Well, we do. And there were a series of things that Jesus was really warning his disciples about here. He would tell them in verse 6 that don't be frightened. And there'd be a lot of false rumors going around, even people presenting themselves as the Messiah, but they weren't. And he would tell them that there would be a falling away of some of them. Some of them just wouldn't stay with it. And so he's warning his disciples not to get caught up in these things, but to heed his words. And if they did, they would come through this okay, even though it was going to be very, very difficult for them.
Yeah, he talked about false rumors in verse 5. You will hear that some are claiming someone great or that something great has already happened and don't believe it. I mean, you just put even those three things together, fear and falling away and false rumors. We could look at any number of eras in human history and see how relevant that is, not just in 2020. But I'll tell you, as you were preaching, one of the phrases that really stuck out to me and something I reflected on over the course of the rest of that day is Matthew 24 and verse 12, where Jesus warns, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. You read that verse as you were surveying the chapter, but I thought here in the middle of the week, that's a frightening, but I think an important thing for disciples, ancient and modern, to think about. Here is the Son of God, the head of the church, warning about love of ordinary people that maybe at various points in their lives, or even as disciples in their walk with Jesus, their love has been hot and fervent and effective, different from the world around us. But fear can wear on us, right? False rumors can wear on us. The tugs and pushes and pulls of the world can wear on us, perhaps to the point that Jesus would look at us and say, love that once was warm and alive has grown cold. What do you think disciples here in the middle of the week at the end of 2020 need to reflect on about that?
You know, it had to be disappointing to Jesus when he said those words, because here's people that he was counting on, wanted him to follow him. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, but that was about to happen, and he was going to die for these people. And to think that many of them, New American Standard says most of them, their love would grow cold. And that's a mirror to what we find later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, about Ephesus. There in verse 4, it says, but I have this against you, that you've left your first love. And that's really the similar thing, a love that's just gone out. You think about, and it's very parallel to our times today, you know, in wintertime we have fire in the fireplace. And if you pull out one of those embers all by itself and set it down away from the logs, away from the rest of the roaring fire, that little ember just goes out.
Yeah.
It just goes cold. And that's what he's describing there. And so very real. I mean, all it takes is a year like 2020, and that can do it to us. We just get so discouraged. We get so impatient. We're so tired of not being able to be together, that our love for each other and our love for the Lord just goes cold. And pretty soon, nothing is there.
Yeah, perhaps our love for those who need Jesus, right? Not only our love for each other and our love for the Lord, but our love for the lost. You and I have reflected on more than one occasion this year what Jesus saw when he looked at crowds in the Gospels. We're told more than once he saw people who were like sheep without a shepherd, and that created or fueled compassion within him. Passion is the very opposite of something that has grown cold. So we know this is a danger on a variety of different fronts. A love that grows cold for the lost, a love that grows cold for our brethren, even a love that grows cold for the Lord. And so what do I need to do in order to avoid that? I thought there toward the end of your sermon, you brought attention to a couple of things that maybe it's been a few days since we heard this, or maybe someone is listening and they haven't taken the time to watch the sermon yet. But I love these just basic practical points. You brought up worship, first of all. How does worship keep love from going cold?
And it does two things for us. First of all, it puts the Lord before our eyes. That's what worship is all about. It's not about what I get out of it or how it makes me feel. It's about my heart going to the Lord. And we sing these hymns. And we partake of the Lord's Supper. We hear his word preached. We hear our petitions to him in prayers. And what that does, it stirs, it puts that ember back in the fireplace. It reminds us that God still cares for us. God is still on the throne. And sometimes when we're isolated and we're by ourselves, we can get that Elijah complex. We think we're the only one. And we're just about ready to give up. And that cold ember, it will just lack motivation. it becomes indifferent. But when we're in worship, boy, it just reminds us. It reminds us we've got a church family. We've got a kingdom that we're a part of that's strong and powerful, and it's greater than the pandemic. It keeps thriving. It's been through wars. It's been through depressions. It's been through history, and it is still going and thriving today.
Yeah, tonight, of course, we're not able to gather in person in the church building, but I'll just tell you, personally, last Wednesday, I remember, was a very busy day, hectic day. Got home, we got a little bit of food for the family to eat, and we made sure that we were sitting down together as a family in the living room at 7 o'clock. And the way that we have those online, even Wednesday evening studies set up right now, there's a little bit of a countdown, and then it immediately begins with a hymn. It's a recording of a congregational singing, and the words and the music are projected on the screen. And so we, just like we encourage everybody else, I and my family sing along. And it just struck me. I still remember the feeling a week later that, you know, I've been running all over the place today like a chicken with my head cut off. But here we are sitting down, and just in the singing of that hymn, it was like everything snapped back into place. Perspective changed. There was a certain level of peace that settled in, joy that was kindled in my heart at the end of a long day just by singing that hymn like you're talking about.
And when you think about the Christians that you know, the people in your congregation, or just people you know in other places, they're strong, they're powerful, they're leaders. One characteristic is that they are regular worshipers of God. Yeah. You separate the believer from worship, and that little ember, it's just going to burn out.
Yeah. So you brought up a couple of things. Worship keeps our focus on God, brings us before God. You also brought up daily spiritual habits. This is not algebra or calculus. This is not hard to understand. But how do daily spiritual habits keep that love from going
cold? And that's part of the DNA of this congregation. Yeah. We have developed these ideas from several years ago, one of our theme books, just the things that will really matter, the basics, the fundamentals. But the idea of every day praying to God, every day reading His Word, every day just thinking spiritual thoughts, every day trying to find somebody somewhere that you can lift their spirits. It may be a text you send, a card you send, just a quick little phone call. Hey, I was thinking about you. But every day what you're doing is you're dipping that bucket into the well of God. And not only are you taking in, but you're putting out. You're becoming useful in the kingdom. And that keeps that fire going. These people need me, and I'm here for this reason. It gives me a purpose and a direction. And again, how important that is every single day. If Sunday, or even Sunday and Wednesday, is the totality of our spiritual life, we're missing out.
Yeah, we're not eating very much. If we take Jesus seriously in Matthew 4, when he says that we're not to live by bread alone, but we are to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If I eat two times a week, I'm not going to be doing very well a week or two even from now. And like you said, I am so thankful to be a part of a church family. You and I work hard, obviously, to do what we can, but we get just as much as we give. Even I'll give another just personal example. You know, you never know what you're going to see when first thing in the morning you're scrolling on Facebook, depending on friends and who you follow and various pages that you're plugged into. You can see all sorts of bad news, frustrating news, maybe things you're not even sure whether or not they're true. But in the middle of all of that, to run across, for instance, a quick quote, at the beginning of the day. You work hard on those. I know from month to month, you've been working hard on what's going to come in 2021. And I've heard you say before, you know, a simple quick quote, that's not going to save anybody. They're not designed to teach someone the gospel, but just a little dose of spiritual perspective. Things like that. You write 5 days a week, a jump start that gives us something to think about from the beginning of the day. So many different ways on a daily basis we can sharpen that focus and make sure in a world that is pulling our hearts in the wrong direction, we're warmed by the Spirit of God and the love of Jesus.
And we have to realize that Satan is trying to pull that ember away from others. He's trying to do that. And he's smart. And he knows by ourselves we're just going to burn out. And we're just not going to be what we used to be. Our love will grow cold. And so we need each other. And sometimes it's the worship that does that. Sometimes it's just our daily habits, just opening that word and putting yourself into those pages and reading that. And you don't have to read mountains of chapters. Sometimes it's just a verse or two a day, but you just really put yourself in there and you think about those words and you think about that story and it just changes everything. It can be a dark, gloomy day, but boy, your spirits are lifted up and it gives you a little hope. Sometimes it just gives a little shove to keep you going what you need to be doing, but that is so essential to keep going as God wants us to.
Yeah, you've mentioned three things in the sermon. We've talked about two, but you've already hinted at the third. What keeps our love from growing cold is worship, our daily spiritual habits, and our connections to each other. That's been a challenge in 2020, but I hope that it has removed any tendency in any of us in the near future to take our gathering, our face-to-face times, just recreational times together for granted. We need each other, as you brought up.
And just simple little things. You know, you shared a couple of personal things. Let me share a couple of personal. From this Matthew 24 sermon this past week, got a phone call from one of our members and someone else I saw out, you know, away from worship, came up to me, and they both commented how that lesson helped them. And, you know, the hours you pour into sermon, the work, and sometimes you wonder, I wonder if anybody listened, I wonder if it did any good. And you hear things like that.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize, you know, we're all in this together. I'm providing the meal, but you're eating the meal, you're patting me on the back, I'm helping you, you're helping me. And together, arm in arm, that's how I see it, arm in arm, we're marching toward heaven. And one of us slips a little bit, and one of us stumbles, but arm in arm, the other one will pick the other one up. But again, alone, isolated, by myself, troubles seem greater than anything else. Disappointment seems to overcome me. And that little ember is just going to go out because it doesn't have those connections.
Yeah, all a matter of perspective. Shelley and I were talking just a day or two ago. We remember having conversations before we had kids about how busy we were and how we just didn't seem to have enough time. But now having three growing up kids in the house, it's simply a matter of perspective, right? That you can think one thing, but life evolves. You can think, well, I really don't have that much money, but you go and you visit portions of the Middle East or Africa, and you figure out just how much money you have. That's the way I look at Matthew 24 and your sermon. It's been very easy for us. I mean, if we had a dollar for every time we heard the word unprecedented this year, we could go on a nice vacation. But really, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Disciples of Jesus need a clear, Christ-centered perspective.
And what helped those people way back then, when their city was going to be destroyed, they would have to flee and not turn back. It's the same thing that helps us today.
Yeah.
It's not magic words. And as I said in the sermon, it wasn't angels coming down from heaven just making everything okay. There are going to be some tough times. and we have tough times, and sometimes we don't know what's coming down the road. But still, as we go through this, the Lord is there, and these same truths are working for us just as well.
Yeah, I mentioned our online study tonight. I would certainly encourage our listeners to tune into that. 7 o'clock this evening at charlestownroad.org or on YouTube or Facebook, however you access that content. We're going to be back in Philippians, this time chapter 4, and we're going to talk about joy that is unlocked by the peace of God. I don't know what you'll go through today. I don't know how your day started or what you'll experience in the afternoon, but I do know this. We all need healthy, consistent doses of the peace of God. And so we'll talk about that, Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Roger, you've got the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday morning.
Yes, and we're going to title the lesson Life's Rules, or the Rules of Life. And whenever you sit down and play any game, particularly like the game of life, we used to play that with our kids a long time ago, there are certain rules. And we're going to talk about some of those rules and how they impact us and how they affect us in so many ways. God is there for us and God is good to us. And we just need to appreciate that.
A wealth of resources available at charlestownroad.org. If we can help you, we want your perspective to be clear and your focus to be strong. We're here to help. We appreciate the encouragement. We appreciate you listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope to have you join us this evening for Bible study. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We hope you will continue to grow with us.